Yes, it's the voice of the Jayhawks, the Final Four bound Kansas Jayhawks. Brian Haney, the voice of the Hawks, is with us here today, as always, doing a little bit earlier this week on a Wednesday as he gets ready to travel down to San Antonio to hit the Riverwalk and have a great time. You know, Brian, you were so worried about those Duke Blue Devils, and granted, I was too, but I do recall we were talking last week and I put out the scenario that I would rather play Duke than Syracuse, and I know that sounded crazy at the time, I admitted that, but the reason I like playing Duke instead of Syracuse is KU would be the underdog, they would play loose, Bill Self told his team, let it fly, did they ever. What an amazing win for the Jayhawks against Duke the other day. You had to be just all giddy inside.
Yeah, no doubt, it was pretty incredible, and Bill Self called it his second best win ever, so that certainly says something right there. But I thought there were so many things to be proud of in that game. And Malik Newman's continued ascension is something that legend is made of. And it sounds crazy, but if he keeps this going for two more games, he could be the Final Four most outstanding player. And guess what, Wade? That's criteria to have your number in the rafters.
Yeah.
And who would have thought that after a 12-point-per-game regular season, in which he was a good player for Kansas, but I think most would say it wasn't quite what we had anticipated for him this season, and yet the switch has been flipped, and this is exactly the version of him. Honestly, it's better than the version of him we anticipated. I thought heading into the year, and you can go back and listen to the tape from October, I thought he'd be about a 17 to 18 point per game type guy for Kansas based on everything we'd heard in the offseason, everything we'd seen in practice a year ago when he was on the red team competing against Devontae and Frank on a daily basis. This is that version, and this is the version that's assertive and aggressive and feels like he's the baddest dude on the floor, and I love that because without it, you're obviously not still dancing at this point. And, you know, Devontae started to see the lid come off the hoop a little bit in that second game, and hopefully it's completely off for Villanova because they've got so much firepower, he's going to need to be hitting on all cylinders. But his ascension, Malik's, along with LeGerald's continued contributions, and how about 26 minutes out of Silvio?
Yeah.
Who would have thought that'd be possible?
Yeah.
When he had a hard time staying on the floor for 26 seconds back in January, everything was so sped up for him, and he was still getting acclimated. The fact that he gives Kansas so much, I mean, that was another huge storyline for KU. So, terrific effort. So proud of all these guys. And you get to this point, you know, all bets are off. You know, I think Kansas has a great shot. And I love it that they're still considered an underdog for the reasons
yep.
you mentioned. I think they played better in that regard. So hopefully that'll be the case because you look at some of their biggest wins this year, Morgantown, Lubbock, in Omaha versus Duke. It's when everybody was talking about the other team. And I love it that you can be a team as talented as this one with a one seed next to your name and still not have anybody giving you much credit. So that's going to be fun if that continues to be the case on Saturday because I think they like it in terms of the mentality and the psyche that leaves them.
It's amazing. Malik Newman has a chance to score more points in the NCAA tournament than Danny Manning did back in 1988. It's amazing where he's come and how far he's come in just a short period of time. He is, no doubt, the alpha dog right now for KU, scored all 13 of their points in overtime. But, you know, he got a lot of attention, and rightfully so. He played really good defense against Grayson Allen, the 32 points. But you mentioned Silvio DeSosa, and I'm glad you brought him up because I'm watching the game, and, you know, I was not worried. Well, first of all, I figured Udoka was going to continue to get in foul trouble, just the way the game was called. And I wasn't worried about it. As a fan, I was not worried about it because Silvio, to me, really honestly matched up better with the pace of play in that game against Duke than Udoka did. And we saw some pick and roll defense there later in the game where Udoka wasn't where he was supposed to be, whereas Silvio was quicker and was able to get to the spot sooner to stop the dribble penetration on screen and rolls. And even though he only scored 4 points, he had 10 rebounds. He had a huge box out rebound on the missed three by DeVal that would have tied it in overtime. It just felt to me like KU might have been a little bit, it sounds crazy to say, but a little bit better fit in that game to have DeSosa on the floor going up and down against the athletic bigs, not because of size, but because of the quickness that DeSosa has.
You know, I think there's some truth to that. I think that there's certainly some things he can bring. Having said that, man, is it a weapon when you can just throw it up near the rim.
Oh, sure.
And Udoka towers above everybody and throws down those alley-oops, and it makes feeding the post so much easier. And that's where, in this Villanova matchup, where they're mostly 6'9", 235, 6'9", 240, to have a guy like that that's 7 feet tall, 280, if he can play without fouling, It's going to be tough because these guys just had 20 offensive rebounds versus Texas Tech. So you're going to need both those guys, quite frankly. But I think you're onto something with some of the things that Silvio brings, and yet I'm not sure there's a guy left in the tourney that when he's turned up to a 10 and is playing to his full size with those soft hands and all that is as unstoppable on the block as Udoka could be. And if that's the case, you know, then you keep Malik going strong. I don't know why anybody's calling this team an underdog right now.
Well, we'll take it. 5.5-point underdog, it looks like. How about the rebounding? I mean, if you and I would have talked last week and said, hey, Kansas is going to out-rebound Duke by 15, and you'd out-rebound him on the offensive glass, 17 offensive rebounds, and Udoka only plays 19 minutes, I think you and I would both have just started giggling and laughing, just going, there's no way that's going to happen.
Right. Yeah, no doubt. And you know, it's a team in Duke that their rebound margin was +9 statistically on the season. You out-rebounded by 15, so that's a +24 swing based on what it should have been. And that's against the Kansas team that, you know, has been very pedestrian and is below average in terms of rebounding by Kansas standards all season. And so that was incredible. You know, you got 18 boards out of your two bigs, and that means that of the 15 rebound differential, you know, almost all of it in terms of equaling Duke was made up by your guards.
Yeah.
And they were tracking down a lot of caroms on long missed shots. Svi was up on the rim a ton. I thought he did a great job. Vic, Malik as well, Devonta in the mix. And yeah, that was one of the most glaring categories coming in when you wondered how are they going to put that together. So to not only hold their own, but to give Duke a taste of their own medicine was just astounding. And hopefully that continues. I think that, you know, Villanova is built differently, but, man, they play with tenacity. And I think we're in a somewhat similar situation in looking at them and their 86.6 points per game as we were Seton Hall, who scored in the 80s, and you thought to yourself, okay, that's really impressive. And obviously they got six guys that average in double figures and all this firepower. But is it a product of just being otherworldly offensively, or is there not a ton of defense being played in that league?
Right.
Now, they just beat a Texas Tech team that's really good defensively and took it to them impressively. Some of that was the 20 offensive rebounds, though. So I want to see what Kansas can do in playing this game in the 70s. I know Duke was a game where we wanted to get out and push it because that favored us. I don't know that it favors us as much in this regard. That's not to slow it down and take the air out of the ball. But Coach Self told me on Monday, he's not sure he wants to see it played in the 80s, quite frankly. Maybe something in the 70s would better fit Kansas. You're not going to stop doing what you do, but you're also not going to play into what they want to do either. So it's going to be interesting in that regard because you've got a lot of similarities between these two teams, the way they're built. And yet I'm curious if a Big East league this year where a lot of teams scored a lot of points, if Kansas can throw, you know, a really good defensive effort against them. Because I know they just went through Big 12 play out in Boston and beat West Virginia and Texas Tech, two of our better defensive teams. But those teams also don't have quite the firepower that Kansas has offensively. So if J.I. bring just a little bit more defense than they're used to seeing on a nightly basis in the Big East, with every bit as much offensive firepower as they bring, does that ultimately tilt the scales to Kansas? That, to me, is going to tell a big tale in the outcome of this one.
Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. Stop by and see Matt and Jamie, 118 North Mill and Beloit, or call them 738-5701. All right, let's talk about Villanova. They're a team that, here's the scary thing to me. When you look at Michigan, they needed a last-second shot to get through their second game. KU needs Grayson Allen's shot to go in and out for them to make it. They dodge a bullet there. Loyola Chicago had two, in essence, buzzer beaters earlier. They could have been out first round. Villanova hasn't had that scare yet, but the thing that worries me is that they shot the ball extremely poorly from three against a very good Texas Tech team and still won by 12. Which tells me this is a legit team. I mean, for them to go cold like that, odds are they're not going to shoot that poorly coming up on Saturday night against Kansas. But when you look at Villanova, they've got the four-guard lineup like Kansas, but they've got a stretch five. So let's talk about the problems that Villanova poses to Kansas.
Well, I think that when you have six different guys that can shoot the three as well as they do, that pretty much means somebody, even on an off-shooting night like you mentioned, will be a good shot for you. And I think that while they don't have nearly the size that Duke did, where you had four guys that were all 6'10", 6'11", 250, they've got enough size. And it's not like they're a small team. They're just built a little bit differently, and they're actually more versatile. You know, their five-man shoots 45% from deep, yeah. And he was the Big East Freshman of the Year. And so I think the fact that any one of their five guys on the floor could lead them on any given night sounds a lot like Kansas, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there aren't a lot of Big 12 teams that are like that. As good as our league was, it's usually a three-headed monster. This is one with five heads, and then you've got a guy in DiVincenzo coming off the bench that could fill it up as well. So I think the Jayhawks clearly still have matchup advantages when you've got a guy like Udoka, but I think they've met their match in other regards based on the depth and breadth of scorers both inside and out and the way this team really gets after. I think Brunson is better than Devontae Graham. I think that's a narrow edge to Brunson. But in a one-game scenario, anything can happen. I think over the sample size of 38 games we've seen, he's had a better season, and he'll be the Wood and the Naismith Award winner, in my opinion, over Graham, or at least would finish higher in the balloting over Graham. He's shooting 13 percentage points better.
Yeah.
So that's a pretty open and shut case there. But when you get to this point, it's the leadership qualities and the intangibles, and I'm not saying Brunson doesn't have those. He certainly has it in spades. But give me the senior over the junior. Give me the guy that Bill Self says is the best leader he's ever coached in his 15 seasons at Kansas and has the best intangibles of any player he's ever had anywhere. Give me that guy to find a way. And the shooting numbers may not be as pretty, and it may have to come in other categories that he gets it done, but true point guards want to be judged on one thing, and you know what that is, it's winning.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously both these guys have won a ton. But to me, in a matchup of two veteran All-American talents, Brunson is the guy with a little bit more going for him heading in, and he's obviously been there before. Devontae's been a three Elite Eights, but this is his first Final Four. Give me the senior, though, and give me the guy that nobody's talking about anymore because Malik's been so hot. I think in that matchup, you're going to see Devontae step up and make some incredible plays. If he's anything, he's been clutch in the games that have really mattered the most, in the moments within those games that have mattered the most. And that, to me, is the Devontae I expect to see. So that's going to be big. But what do you do with Mikal Bridges? He's a lottery pick, perhaps. He's a third-team All-American. He's 6'7", but scores both inside and out. He's so versatile. That's the type of Swiss Army knife type guy. But you know what? We got Svi, who just matched up on
Bagley.
Marvin Bagley, who could be the number one pick in the draft, and left it all out on the floor. It was terrific. Well, Gerald Vick will be one of the best athletes on the floor. If not the best in the Final Four, in terms of his freak athleticism, he's playing more confident than ever. And so for every player we could break down right now, they're probably equally concerned in that Villanova film room looking at Kansas. And so I love it that they're underdogs because I don't think they're that much underdogs, quite frankly. And I can't wait to see it pan out on Saturday night.
Well, I think I saw the stat the other day that Bill Self is, I think, 21-1 in the tournament when he has 4 or 5 days to prepare. And he's got more time to prepare for Villanova this time than he did a couple years ago when they played in the Elite Eight. So you got to like those odds going in against Villanova. All right, you ready for the off-the-wall question?
Let's do it.
Have you ever been called soft? Bill Self, the word soft has been brought up year in and year out. It's been brought up a lot this week at the press conferences. And he says, well, my team, physically may be soft, but mentally we are tough. He said it was frustration why he used the word soft a lot with this team. But has Bill Self or anybody called you soft, Brian Haney?
Not specifically that, but I remember being on the A-team in 7th grade at Landon Middle School. And I was on the A-team because I was a good shooter, but I wasn't a good athlete. And I was like a bring him in off the bench, not any of the Microwave Johnson type heat it up, but I could come in and give you a shot here or there.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a clutch game. A tight game, big moment, and the coach looks down the bench and looks at me and says, Haney, are you ready? And honestly, I was like 13 years old. I was nervous. I don't think I wanted to go in. And my answer was, I guess. And he looked at me like, oh, my gosh, I'm not putting you in the game. And he's like, are you kidding me? And he didn't say you're soft, but he's like, are you kidding me? And I'm like, no, I'm ready. And I went in and I did fine. I didn't make any heroic plays or anything. But never tell your coach, I guess. Because if somebody said that to Bill Self, there's no way he's going in the game.
No.
I'm lucky that my coach was a little bit easier on me.
Yeah, if you say I guess or whatever, that's probably not going to sell your coach on putting you in at all. And it sounds like it was implied that you were soft by the look the coach probably gave you when that happened.
Exactly. See, Miller would never say that.
No. He would probably just run out on the floor without being allowed to go in. And it's like, whoa, dude, you got to check in here. Coach has got to let you in. No doubt about that. Hey, man, have safe travel down San Antonio. It's going to be a tremendous atmosphere, and it's a great opportunity for KU to bring home another national championship, and then we'll wrap it all up with you next week, buddy.
Yeah, hope to see you down there, buddy. We'll talk to you real soon.
Sounds good. That's Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, as the Jayhawks head to San Antonio for the Final Four. They'll play Villanova coming up on Saturday night, and tip time is scheduled for about 7:49 Central Time. The Loyola Chicago-Michigan game will be tipping off at about 5:09. Our time on Saturday, that'll be the first game. KU-Villanova is the nightcap. Villanova, last check, was a 5 to 5.5 point favorite over the Jayhawks, both those teams' number one seeds. And we know Kansas seems to do better as the underdog, especially in the tournament. They proved it again against Duke the other day, and they'll be the underdog again going up against Villanova.